With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're locked on The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
I'll do it then. Seth Davis will join us at 1:30. Oh, wait. No. You're on two. There we go.
Did you just say that on the air?
I did. As I said, I asked you to do it, but you said no.
I would have done it.
No.
I would have. But I was looking up other news. Texter sent this to me, and the texter is apparently...
Is anyone on there crushing my sports center?
Absolutely right. No, you might have mentioned it, so if you mentioned this, forgive me, because I was going and having some nice potatoes.
There was something that I wanted to mention, though, that I did not get in sports center. I ran out of time.
Okay.
Because sports center kind of caught me off guard. I didn't realize I had it loaded in there, so I had nothing prepared. I freestyled the whole thing, which is why it sounded kind of... jaunty at times. We got through it, but you know, three different sound bites. That was nice. But I didn't mention that for Monday's Music City Bowl, Mississippi State.
That's what we were just going to talk about. Yes. They're going to make a quarterback change.
Yes, Garrett Schrader will be out, and Tommy Stevens will be in. That's initially reported by 247 Sports is Paul Jones. So I was going to mention that in SportsCenter. I ran out of time because I was fumbling around.
Well, that's what I was going to do. Now you took my whole thing away.
Oh, sorry. Well, here. Wait.
SportsNaut.com.
We can do it again. Wait.
SportsNaut says.
Here we go. Ready?
I don't want to do it again.
You're on.
Oh, re-echoing is redundant. Echoing or reiterating what Nick just said. Mississippi State, according to numerous sources, the one I'm looking at is Matt Johnson at SportsNaut. I've not heard of that. Have you ever heard of that website? SportsNaut? N-A-U-T? SportsNaut?
No.
No, anyway, Matt Johnson works for them, evidently.
I don't think I have. I feel maybe I should.
Oh, I don't know. Just came up on a Google search. And what he said is they are going to make another change at quarterback following a fight between teammates earlier this month. He is quoting another website, 24/7 Sports David Murray. The senior quarterback, Tommy Stevens, is going to take the reins one more time for Monday's bowl game against Louisville. This discussion is, according to the report, freshman quarterback Garrett Schrader was expected to start in the bowl game. However, he had an altercation with a teammate during practice and suffered damage to his orbital bone. Neither player involved in the fight will face a suspension, but evidently you can't play with a broken bone in your face. That is what the orbital bone is, right? Isn't that the one by your eye?
I think it's left of your eye.
As a result of the injury, Stevens will get the opportunity to finish his collegiate career with a final start. He's 80 for 135 this year with 934 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. So I don't know how that impacts the game. I don't know enough about Mississippi State's roster and his play, but I know they went through kind of a musical chairs deal at quarterback this year. So we'll see how that plays out for them. I can tell you this. We did all the bowl games. What did we say? Where the heck are the Sagarins? Oh, rats. Did I remember to bring it? The Sagarins were still on a pretty good roll here. I don't have it with me. Terrible. Because we did all the bowl games. I don't expect everybody's listening every minute every day. So we did all the bowl games through New Year's Day. And I believe we did. We might have only done it through the 28th. Anyway, well, we'll be back tomorrow. So whatever we didn't do, we'll update. But the Sagarins have been extremely good in the NFL and stronger as the college season went on, which makes sense because I would think the data is easier to compile when you're getting comparable competition rather than early in the year when you get these wild mismatches. But for what that's worth, you are going to have a game where Louisville is a 4-point underdog right now against Mississippi State. Western Kentucky, by the way, is in action the same day, earlier in the day. They play Western Michigan in the Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. And Western at 8-4 is a 3.5-point favorite over Western Michigan, who's 7-5. Louisville is a 4-point underdog against Mississippi State. Other games that day, Virginia is in action against Florida in the Orange Bowl. Is that yes, it is. It is 8 o'clock that night. Florida's a 14.5-point favorite. And stuck in the middle of all that is at 4 o'clock. Oh, that's the same time as Louisville plays. Illinois takes on Cal. Cal's a 6.5-point favorite in the Red Box Bowl, where you have to bring your ticket stub back the next day or you get charged double. So there you go.
I would owe that bowl so much money.
You would have whole sections of seats in that bowl game. There's no question about that. Let's see here. They usually have a website for this, but I don't know where it is. I always like to update the leagues and see how they're doing in bowl games. I think they've been pretty solid, the Sagarins. We're going to start doing Sagarins for basketball, too. Hopefully they'll be somewhat approaching the same success we had with the football. Speaking of success, it's always a success when Adam and his staff drop off Wing Zone Catering here to the studios. And you can try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Just mention ESPN Louisville. It's good 7 days a week. Order today and tomorrow for your U of L and UK college football playoff watch parties. U of L UK game, excuse me, I should read that right. U of L and UK neither in the college football playoff. So your U of L UK basketball or college football playoff watch parties. That's what we'd be talking about. Order online, wingzone.com, two Louisville locations in Hikes Point and Hess Lane near U of L. So there you go. So that's what's going on. We're talking mostly basketball so far and the upcoming game between Kentucky and Louisville. Speaking of basketball, though, last night, interesting matchup, which Mark Kestisher had the call of here on ESPN. You had a ESPN Radio wrapping up what was a quadruple header on TV, wasn't it? Weren't there four games yesterday? I think there were four. And he had the last call on the TV game, the Lakers and the Clippers. Double bad news for the Lakers. Not only did they get beat by the Clip, but they also evidently are going to lose LeBron for a little bit. They re-aggravated that groin injury. Actually, it was a quintuple header. There were five games yesterday. Good Lord. That's a great thing about basketball. They don't take so long that you can just play all day. I forgot there was a game after the Clippers-Lakers. Pelicans and the Nuggets. So it was five games in the books yesterday. Celtics beat the Raps in Toronto. The 76ers beat the Bucks in Philadelphia. The Warriors beat the Rockets. I'll come back to that in a minute. 116-104. That was in Golden State and now it's where they play in San Francisco. The Clippers beat the Lakers. They share that building, but it technically was the Lakers' home game, 111-106. And then the Pelicans beat the Nuggets 112-100 on the road. A good road win for the Pelicans, who are now at 9-23. That's not a good loss for Denver, who had come into the game 21-8, playing a 9-22 New Orleans team and got bounced by 12. Brandon Ingram had 31 points, and the Nuggets have their 7-game winning streak come to a screeching halt. The Rockets, the Warriors did a pretty good job containing James Harden, but it was really interesting because you talk about U of L guys having a presence. You see that? Oh, Nick's has wandered off again. There he goes. He's done his thing. Because look at that. Damian Lee had 22 points in this game, 10 of 10 at the line. Pretty impressive for Damian Lee, who played 31 minutes for the Warriors, 5 of 9, 2 of 2 from the three-point line, 15 rebounds, and 22 points. How about that? He's put himself in position to make himself some money. Louisville's Damian Lee. But then on top of that, even though it was in a losing effort, Nick, you wandered off as I was getting ready to talk to you. But that's kind of how you roll.
Huh?
Late Louisville players last night.
Yeah, how about that?
Damian Lee having himself
22 and 15
rebounds for the Warriors, who are playing without a lot of people. So he's had to step up. But boy, has he. Four assists to boot in that game. So he was terrific. And then for the Clip joint, Montrezl Harrell, who's become a monster there, he has another big game. He wound up with, comes off the bench, which is what he does, 31 minutes, same number as Damian Lee, 31 minutes, 18 points, 6 rebounds. Montrezl shot 8 of 12, had a big game for his team as the Clippers get great performance. Kawhi Leonard with 35, Paul George with 17, and an impressive victory there for the Clippers, who now run their record to 23-10. Lakers at 24-7. I watched the game the other night with the Nuggets, speaking of guys that with the local rooting interest. And boy, Jamal Murray, he had a bad game last night, which explains one of the reasons they lost, but he's been playing terrific. Last night he was only 2 of 10 for 8 points. But I watched him earlier in the week. He who was it against? Where is that game? Here it is. He had 28 points against Phoenix on Monday at Phoenix. They won 113-111. He had 28 points in that game and shot 63% from the field, had 7 assists, 2 steals. So certainly if you're a U of L UK fan, there's lots of guys to be following in the association right now. That goes without saying, certainly. So interesting night last night in the NBA, where I've said this before. I mean, it's interesting. The East is interesting. But if the West were its own league right now, I mean, it'd be a killer league. It really would. I mean, if this were the old days when this was all the teams that played basketball, you had, there were literally 13 teams in the NBA divided into 2 conferences. This is just one conference right now, and there are, 15 teams, right? 10, 12, 14. Yeah, 15. I mean, you got some good battles going on here. Utah's in 6th place, and they're 18-12. I mean, it's 6 games over 500, and they're in 6th place in their own conference. The East actually is maybe better than I'm giving it credit for, because if you go down to 6th place in the East, Toronto is 21-10, the defending champions, a 67% winning percentage, and they're only in 6th place in the East. So, you know who sucks? The Knicks. Just thought I'd bring that up. And a nice, robust 7-24.
On pace to be worse than
they were last year.
And last year was historic.
Scarily bad.
So, where are RJ Barrett?
I'm telling you, there was a big article in New York the other day. They're you know, not to bash the guy. He should still only be, a college sophomore? He's still very young. But they were like, he doesn't shoot it real well. And they're not sure he's going to be destined for stardom. He's going to be a really solid starter, but
Said that he had the most, but he was the most turnkey pro.
Yes, but doesn't mean he's out. And the other 2 picks, they don't know what they're getting out of Ntilikina, the point guard, and Kevin Knox from Kentucky. Right now, they are looking more like role players than they are as frontline guys.
Well, at least they're still playing, because Locke kind of made it sound like Kevin Knox should just pack it up, get into coaching.
No, it's not that bad, but I mean...
I know, I forgot. I've been meaning to use the Kevin Knox rejoin. Anytime he has a decent game off the bench. Now, granted, it's usually just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, as it is the Knicks, but I was going to put it as a rejoin because Locke at the beginning of the year, perfect sports radio, was just like, he's done.
I couldn't figure out why on TV they were doing this. They had a big feature, and I'm like, huh, it's December. They were running all this Babe Ruth footage. It's 100 years to the day that the trade happened. The Boston Red Sox traded.
They traded him?
Babe Ruth to the New York Knicks.
Were the Celtics even the New York back
there? I made the Celtics the Knicks. The Boston Red Sox traded Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees, of course, so the guy could finance his play, which was called, do you know that? Most baseball fans know that.
South Pacific.
No.
A play about a war that hadn't happened yet.
That would be pretty scarily insightful. I think this was the play. I want to look it up before I say it, and then, yep, No-No Nanette.
No-No Nanette?
That was the play that the guy financed. It's a musical comedy, and it was financed by selling Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees.
Did they get any players in return, or was it just money? Just cash?
I think it was just money, I thought. That's a good question.
When did the GOAT come into play? Or was that Chicago? That's Chicago. Never mind.
Wow. You need a little nap, don't you?
Could use one, yes.
Hey, Babe Ruth. I don't know if there are any players. I think they just sold his butt. He spent money. But the thing is, the play wound up being a hit. He won a Drama Desk Award, but it's just... I don't know if he got players for them or not. I should know that. But
No-No Nanette.
No-No Nanette. And all changed dramatically for the New York Yankees, to say the least. So... Seth Davis. We already had Seth Greenberg with us, and now we'll have Seth Davis from CBS going to join us. Seth Greenberg helped us preview the UK U of L game. We'll ask Seth Davis about that, as well as the national landscape, as we roll on getting ready for that matchup. But before I do that, let me tell you this. The holidays are now not done because certainly
12 days of Christmas, son.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? Jamie said something yesterday. It was so true. I don't know if you heard him say this.
Typical.
He said, I'll march on. He said, boy, Christmas is a lot more. Adulting Christmas is a lot harder than childing Christmas. When you're like 8, you just wake up and you ask, what time are we eating? Where are the presents? How much time do I have? Can I go play with Tommy? Can I take this out? Can you help me put this together? Let's play with all the toys. This is great. And then I got no school tomorrow, and I got no school the next day. I don't have school till next week. Woo, this is great. Adulting Christmas is I got to be 10:30 at this house, 11 house to the in-laws. Then we got to pick this up. Then we got to bring that. We got to be at 12. Got to be home.
The roast is burning.
And then tomorrow, we got to go back to work. We got to go back to work tomorrow.
I stumbled into work today. I was poor walk. Thankfully, I got C.L. Brown for him. But besides that, I was pretty much.
Oh, so you treated his show like my show for a day. Hey, how you doing?
I got you both.
You did.
Freaking sets today.
No, today.
This is.
Today.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on.
Let me grant you your argument. If it's really hard to come to work
on.
After Christmas.
It is.
And I'm here, and I booked a damn fine show for you.
Well, that's because you knew that I was going to be in the after Christmas hangover. And then you, fortunately for
I had no idea you were going to wage war on lockdown.
Well, I didn't know that either. So, like, I was so excited to get my $20. I was going to take a picture, post it. What a moment for our organization. And he American Airlines me over his shoulder.
That's policy. Airline policy.
Oh, crap. I never sent my text message to Eric Crawford.
What about him?
Oh, let's do it right now.
Well, while you do that, I can tell people that, as I said, the holidays are not over, although this weather is mystifying.
We're getting Seth on the fly.
So hot. No. I'm going to tell people this. You're going to go to break, and then we're going to get Seth.
It's 129. We're supposed to get him at
130. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell people this. You're going to take a break, and we're going to get Seth. The more you talk, it's going to go to 140.
But then we're going to be late for Seth.
Okay, good. Well, I'm not going to talk to him until we take a break. Because what I want to tell everybody is that with the weather being the way it is, you want to make sure that what you're paying to keep your house comfortable stays in your house. Doesn't go out the window. And the way you can do that is with some great new windows from Universal Windows Direct. Right now, buy one, get one, buy two, get two, buy six, get six. You get the deal. No limits, buy one, get one, and 0% financing for 36 months, plus free installation. And some restrictions do apply, but still, you can find out the details. These are super spacer technology windows that are more efficient and last longer than other windows on the market. They are warranted for as long as you own your home in 30 years for the next homeowner. That, my friends, is a true lifetime warranty, and they look terrific. They'll give your house that new glow, and they'll save you money by making the energy that you pay for stay in your home longer and not disappear out the window. How do you find out more? Get them in for a free estimate, 487-5200, or go to universalwindowsdirect.com, 487-5200, or universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Longer and not disappear out the window. How do you find out more? Get them in for a free estimate, 487-5200, or go to universalwindowsdirect.com, 487-5200, or universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
Go to break now.
Now we'll go to break, and then we'll have Seth Davis join us.
Why don't we have him on now?
And then Seth Davis will join us.
But it's 1:30. We should have him now.
Seth Davis, after the break.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I wasn't planning to do this, but inspired by our next guest's Twitter feed. That gives you an idea how much meat he's packing into the Twitter. That sounded way dirtier than I intended it to, but you get the gist of what I mean. He's got lots of interesting stuff on the Twitter feed, and one of which is a guy impersonating Nick Saban after opening Christmas gifts. We're going to play that. That's hilarious. But there's a couple of other things that prime the pump for interesting conversation. So we got lots to talk about with Seth Davis, who joins us. He is of many hats, including for CBS Sports. He is the managing editor of The Athletic, and he joins us right now. Seth, thank you so much, my friend. Happy holidays to you.
Bobby V, merry day after Christmas. And I always love when you play that CBS music. for my spot. It gets my juices. Whenever I hear that song, it makes me think of my mortgage.
or you start looking for the camera. You guys, camera am I? What shot? Where are we coming in on one, on two? Where are we here? So
do you have that recurring dream or nightmare where you're supposed to be on air in like 2 minutes and you haven't showered, you haven't shaved, you're not dressed? You're not where you're supposed to be. I have that dream.
It's kind of I'm convinced everybody has a variation on that. Mine is the game is about to start. I'm coaching it, and I can't find the entrance to the gym. I can't get in.
Go.
I'm walking up and down the hall, and I hear the buzzer sounding, and I'm like, how do you get in? And nobody can tell me how to get in. So
there you go.
It's the same church, different pew, such as it is. So
yeah, there you go. Yeah. Good to talk to you, man.
How you been? Everything good? The college basketball getting you perplexed, intrigued? What do you make of the season so far?
It's the best. It's the best. I mean, every season has its own contours and its own personality. And, you know, we often say, you know, there's no dominant team. And that's actually the case more often than having one. But it certainly has been some time when things were this spread out. As I often say, the world is flat in college basketball, has been for some time. A lot of different reasons for that, but a lot of it is just cyclical. You know, it's like kind of like the NBA draft. You know, some years the first pick is Anthony Davis. Some years the first pick is Anthony Bennett. And, you know, this year is a little bit more of the latter, but I think it makes for a lot of interesting and surprising results in the league.
Let's talk. Obviously, around here, they'd want your thoughts on the upcoming Louisville-Kentucky game. So we'll start there. We'll go out to a more national landscape. But certainly, it's I don't think anybody's surprised that both these teams would be ranked if you told them that in the preseason. I think they might be surprised that Louisville comes in at number 3 and Kentucky at number 19. And frankly, Kentucky's resume is not particularly strong right now. That doesn't mean it won't be by the time it's done. But they have stumbled a bit out of the gate. What do you make of where they are, where they're headed, and the same for the Ville?
You know, I don't think we could ever be really surprised by anything. You know, as I've said and have written the last week or two, like, if you're like, are we really going to flush Kentucky again in December? Like, you'd think we'd learn this lesson just a few times. And if you look at some of the teams in past years, I would even say from last year, I think this Kentucky team, to me, shows that potential for a high ceiling, a Final Four type of ceiling, even more so than some of the other teams that have struggled this time of year. And I think a big part of what Kentucky's gone through is losing Nate Sestina for a couple of weeks. You know, just a really good floor spacer, stretch four on a team that's really, really struggled to shoot the ball. But each of these Kentucky players have had their moments where they've looked really, really good. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, that first season opener against Michigan State, looked like an All-American. Now he's, you know, plumbed and bobbed and ebbed and flowed since then, as a lot of freshmen do. But I think we look at John Calipari's record, and I think there should be a lot of reason for Kentucky fans to feel optimistic, particularly about the game on Saturday, which I think they're going to win. And, you know, from a Louisville standpoint, you know, I tend to view things from 50,000 feet, and you know this better than anybody, you know, being there and covering this. I mean, when you think about what this program has been through and where it was a couple of years ago when Chris Mack took over, the fact that they're a top-five program and looking as good as they are, is just astounding to me. Now, they have their own flaws, particularly I think the point guard situation is going to be something that's going to have to be kind of covered up pretty much all season long. But there are enough scorers and playmakers, obviously with Wara, but, you know, other players as well on this team. And they're an older team. They play, you know, good defense. They're just a solid, solid basketball team. So, you know, it's always great for college basketball when the teams in the Bluegrass are good. And this year they're really, really good. So obviously this is a big game for CBS on Saturday.
Let's elaborate. Why do you think Kentucky is the winner in this game? What parts of the game are you pointing to?
First and foremost, the fact that Louisville has not played in 10 days, and Kentucky just went through the blender out in Las Vegas, losing twice to Utah and Ohio State. But you know, they did not play particularly well against Ohio State, and Ohio State, you know, a lot of people feel it might be the best team in the country to the degree that there even is one. And Kentucky was still in that game late. They played a better schedule. And just the fact of I just think 10 days is a long layoff. And, of course, the fact that the game is in Lexington. And, you know, Kentucky coming off a pair of losses, they don't lose back-to-back all that often. So I think they're going to come out with, you know, really breathing fire and really getting after Louisville and, you know, showing – you would expect, and I'm sure John Calipari is, you know, showing them the video of the Texas Tech game and saying, look, you know, if you punk these guys and you try to get up in them, you know, they'll expose their flaws. So I just kind of like where the pendulum is swinging in Kentucky's direction.
You know, I'm running this by people only because it's one of those things that's kind of like ceiling time stuff. I was thinking about it on air, basically, and it kind of – I'd love to talk to people who do it for a living like yourself and see what they think of it. I'll make a long story short because I got to give you background. At ESPN, we worked with a guy named Fred Carter, who I'm sure you know, Mad Dog, used to be a coach and analyst. And he used to say, how he came up with this number, Seth, I have no idea, but he used to say, an NBA team, you find out who your team is after 22 games. Why not 20 or 25? I don't know, but he said 22. So I tried to, you know, extrapolate that to college. That's roughly a quarter of your season. That would be roughly 8 games. But in college, unlike the NBA, a lot of those first 8 games are against teams that really aren't comparable talent, not other Power 5 teams or the like a Big East team or something. And I looked at it almost universally. The teams in Power 5 conferences play their 8th Power 5 opponent in the week of January 10th, 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere in there. And I said, you know, I think he's on to something, because it doesn't mean if you're not good, then you won't get good, or if you are good, you won't stumble. But the kind of team you are, Seth, by that point, I think is kind of who you are. In other words, if you came into the year thinking you were going to run, and you've tried to run for 8 games, and you just don't do it well, you better embrace the fact that that's not who you are. And I still think that's kind of what we're doing with these teams, is we're still figuring out who they are, and I don't think we'll know that till they get maybe 3 games into conference play that week in January. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I would agree with it largely. I might push the timeline back a month, though. I mean, it's because that would be about where 2022 games is, in kind of the middle of February. So I would say I think you're correct in terms of who we are and who our identity is and who plays where. Obviously, you know, injuries play a factor in all this, but then I would add the other month in terms of being able to refine that and execute that. Mm. And to your point, I'm always struck by, you know, how many times when I'm talking to coaches this time of year, they're just figuring stuff out.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you know, we'll try this guy and try this, you know, these rotations and this style. And that to me is the real interesting part about college basketball. It's kind of, again, to use an analogy that's relevant to your neck of the woods, you know, with like, you know, 2 and 3 year old racehorses, how much they can grow and change over the course of just a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm always intrigued. And to me, I think John Calipari is as good at this as anybody. I think he thrives on chaos and he doesn't like to be nailed down. I mean, even just talking to him, he's always all over the place. And I think he just likes trying different stuff, and he's not afraid to shake things up either. And so he's a mad scientist. He's a tinkerer. And that's why I think his teams tend to gel late, because he's, by the time he's gotten early to mid-February, he's tried everything there is to try.
That's
he's
true.
Gotten all of his data points. And he's just so good at getting, you know, these high school All-American, highly recruited types to buy into a certain type of culture. Say, hey, however long you're here, let's shake up the world and let's win and let's be remembered. And I love this Kentucky team. I think it's got a real high ceiling, and I just enjoy sitting back and watching them make their mistakes and learn, and watching him tinker, and then watching it all come together, as we all know it's going to.
You write about coaches and have written a book about coaches, in fact. So it's intriguing to look at this. But I don't think either of them would particularly love being equated or compared with the other. But in that regard, you said about Cal, what I say about Patino. I say if things get too complacent, he deliberately will shake them up. He needs the chaos. I think they both do. I think there's something to that, that if things are really going well, they almost want to shake it and make it so it's not well, because they seemingly need the friction to have them grow. And I think Rick would create chaos sometimes. You think Cal creates chaos sometimes?
Well, I think it's his comfort zone. Forgive the sirens, by the way. They heard Bobby V was in town, so they're throwing a parade.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Out here in L.A. It's colder in L.A. right now, probably, than Louisville, by the way.
But it is pretty warm here. You're right about that.
I'm not complaining. I just think it's his, you know, I think it's his comfort zone, and it's an interesting, of course, those guys are very much alike in a lot of respects, Cal and Patino. But, you know, I think the common thread with coaches is that they can't really enjoy their success, because they're always worried about what's wrong. And so I wouldn't say it's creating chaos for chaos' sake so much as like you want to make a coach worry, let his team win 8 games in a row, especially when you're dealing with 19, 20-year-old kids. So they're always looking for that landmine that they know someone's going to step on, and they want to be ready for it. And in a lot of respects, they like when that happens because, you know, when your team's winning and you're trying to point out their flaws, you know, the players can nod their head and say, yes, coach, but do they really believe it? Are they really listening? Are they really as worried as you are as a you know, 50, 60-year-old coach who's been around the block a few times? And I think that is one of the things that really separates the great ones, is they can see those problems before they happen and then try to address it so they're ready.
All right, now, I got to ask you this, because at first I was going to say something snarky, and then I realized, I don't know, maybe it's your son.
That would be so unlike you.
Who is the picture in your profile picture on Twitter? Is that you or your son, or who the hell is that?
That is me. So it's a picture of me in high school wearing a CBS Sports shirt. And my recollection, look, I can't remember my kids' names or what I had for breakfast yesterday, but my recollection is that I was in New York and I attended a taping of David Letterman on CBS, and I was in the CBS store and bought that shirt. In fact, I remember, this is what a sports nerd I was in high school, obviously, but I wasn't good enough to play for the football team in my high school, so I did the PA and announced the games that way. And Jesse Jackson was at our game. Because his son was playing on the other team, and I yelled out to him. I said, Jesse, look at me. And I pointed my shirt at him. I said, how about an interview? And he turned to me and said, you look like Brett Musburger. But that is me. That is me, probably at the age of 16.
I said that is.
I didn't have a girlfriend in high school.
I assumed it was. My goodness, the fresh-faced Seth Davis. You want to see it? Go check it out. At Seth Davis Hoops is where you'd find it on Twitter. But. My goodness, if only you could talk to that young lad and tell him what lied ahead.
Oh goodness, he wouldn't have believed it. As cocky as he was, he wouldn't believe it. It would all actually, like, he would think it, he's going to tell you that it's going to happen, but the fact that it actually happened, he wouldn't believe it.
Let's talk about the national landscape. I always say this. I lament the fact that basketball people kind of see their sport in the college football prism, which is a shame, because in football, in college, you play yourself out. You start, everybody anoints 10 teams as potential champions, and then they, you know, play themselves out week by week. Basketball doesn't work that way, but the reason it's important is because whenever a team loses in basketball, people lose their minds, like it's football, and everybody gets beat in basketball. That's the nature of the beast. However, some years, they seemingly get beat more than others, and we're already up to what? Is this the fifth, or how many number ones have we had? Is this five or six?
I think it's the sixth, and I think the record is seven.
It is seven.
Which, by the way, it was 82-83, and NC State was the champion. Yeah. So maybe we're headed for that kind of a moment. That'd be pretty nice.
Well, it was a nice year for us. But what do you make of that for this year? I mean, in terms of the big picture, how does it play out as we approach March, knowing that there's such volatility at the top of the polls?
Well, you make a great point. The fans and I mean, like, don't panic. You know, and it's amazing. You know, you talk about my Twitter feed. I'm dumb enough to. Do you read your mentions on Twitter? Are you engaged in that way?
Sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. I have to brace myself to be able to do it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's not a pretty place. But it's like, you know, it's interesting. You know, I do this top 25 and I release it on Sunday night. And I have fun with my followers. I call it feeding the trolls. And, you know, for a while, I was ranking Maryland like fifth or sixth when they were finishing in polls at like third or something like that.
Right.
And Maryland fans were shredding me. How can you rank us so low? I'm like, I'm ranking them like fifth. Like, I'm really disrespecting you. Then they lose two games and they're all lighting me up. Oh, you defend Turgeon. Turgeon sucks. You got to get rid of Turgeon. I'm like, well, which is it? I mean, teams lose. You know, do we get rid of Calipari because they lost at home to Evansville? Do we get rid of Krzyzewski because they lost at home to Stephen F. Austin? And so fans are, you know, it's just, I'd say enjoy the process and trust the process and understand that, you know, everybody's going through it right now. And I think it makes college basketball very intriguing and a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, the season always gets bailed out by the tournament, because the tournament is 100% guaranteed to deliver every time, because there's so many games. There's 16 games played in the tournament, you know, maybe two-thirds of them are not all that memorable, but you're still going to get your 12 to 15 that everyone's going to be talking about all year. So It's kind of a mess. It's a beautiful mess, I would call it.
Okay.
And of course, the tournament is the ultimate crapshoot. And again, I think that I think Bob, a big part of this is the whole transferring thing. We've now had almost a decade, and particularly the last 5 or 6 years, of hundreds and hundreds. I don't even know the number is at this point. It might be getting close to 1,000. Of basketball players switching schools. And I think it's kind of like water just kind of finding its level. Mm. Everyone's going to get their chance to play. And, look at a guy like Nate Sestina, going from Bucknell to Kentucky and being a very, very important player. And that can go both ways. So it's just, it is what it is. Let's just sit back and enjoy it and be grateful that we get to watch this incredible sport.
The Athletics, Seth Davis, and CBS Sports, also same guy, with us here talking some college hoops. Let me, if you look at the polls, you got Gonzaga, Ohio State, Louisville, Duke, Kansas. I'm going to skip 6 and 7 and 8. You got 9 is Memphis and 10 is Villanova. The first 5 I read, no surprise, they would be in the discussion. I think any casual college fan would have their thoughts on those teams. But what do you make of the Oregons, the Baylors, the Auburns, and even the Villanovas in terms of big picture potential? Are any of those teams in your mind kind of fool's gold right now, or you're looking at them saying, oh, you just wait, but they're in it for the long haul? How do you see those teams?
Of the teams that you mentioned, if there is a fool's gold, I might say Auburn, only because if you look at their schedule, they really haven't played anybody, and they haven't played anybody away from home. And they've struggled with a couple of teams even at home. I mean, Furman took them to overtime. I do think they're a good team. I like their veterans in the backcourt, McCormick and Samir Dowdy. And I think any team with veteran guards that know how to play and know how to win are going to carry you a long way. I'm very intrigued by Oregon. I think I have them ranked third. I don't know where they're on the poll this week.
They're 6.
They're 6. Okay. So, they just added a player, a freshman named Ifeoli Dante, who is a very highly, the place completely emptied out in the spring, and Dana Altman did an unbelievable job. He brought over a grad transfer from New Mexico named Anthony Mathis, who actually played in high school with Peyton Pritchard. And by the way, it's early, of course, and Jordan Nora would be in this conversation. But if I had to pick a national player of the year right now, it would be Peyton Pritchard.
Wow,
he really has done an unbelievable job putting that team on his back. But in Ifeoli Dante, he reclassified in high school because all of a sudden Dana Altman didn't have any players. Very, very highly regarded recruit, and he couldn't. Oregon's on the quarter system. He couldn't quite get eligible for the first quarter. So he only just enrolled in school. It's not like he was there practicing with the team. He just got there a week ago. But he is super, super – I mean, he's all a 6'11", gifted offensive player. And so that's a really good team getting better at a time of year when teams – aren't used to adding, that caliber player. So I'm bullish on Oregon right now.
Speaking of, the shifting of players and kids reclassifying and transfers, I ask you this not specifically about him, but about in a broad picture, because James Wiseman not coming back to school, he gone, and people are doing the Chicken Little thing. College basketball is falling apart at the seams. What do you make of where we're headed?
It is what it is, man. I mean, it's always going to be unstable in that regard with players going to the NBA. The Wiseman, I've never seen a case like Wiseman in my life. I mean, it's unfortunate that he has a situation where, his mom took some money that hurt his eligibility because of Penny Hardaway's relationship with Memphis. The school and Wiseman, I don't know what attorneys were convincing them that they had a case. They obviously did not have a case, so they tried to take him to court, which pushed back his suspension and also made it longer than it would have been. He would have played against Tennessee had they just done the easier, smarter path. But then for him to go through all that and then decide not to play, I don't begrudge anybody anything. Everybody should chase whatever opportunity they want. But, I mean, at a certain point, what about loyalty to your teammates, to your school, to your city? I mean, Memphis invested a lot in recruiting him. And, a lot of those players went to Memphis because he was there. And then for him to just bail on them in December, I don't think that's real cool. So, listen, Bobby, I got to go, but I want to wish you and everyone in Louisville a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Please, everybody, be safe. And I'm going to enjoy watching that game on Saturday almost as much as you guys.
All right, man. Take care of yourself. Happy New Year, and we'll see you soon, Seth.
All right,
be well.
Love you, Bobby.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, it was perfect timing because we're at the top of the hour. We got to go. He's got to go. Everybody's got to go. So did he tell you he had to go? Were you aware of that? He just decided to bail. He had enough of
it? No. I had a feeling he had to go. I thought maybe we were talking to him too long.
It wasn't too long.
You sure?
No. Wasn't.
Was it? It was like 20 minutes.
So what?
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know.
No, I believe, you know. I believe he's got another thing to do. That's what I think at 2 o'clock. So he had to get off. But I don't mind that. I trust that these are busy guys. And so I don't ever ask them up front because I think maybe I should articulate it, but I think they know. My approach is you got to go. Just tell me you got to go. I'm not going to be offended. I don't think we're the only show you're doing. He's, you know, he's living his life to come on the V Show in Louisville. I mean, I'd be a little worried about him, frankly, if he were. So
I'm flattered, but yeah, I mean, he is CBS's and The Athletic. Seth Davis, he's got to be in demand. I was doing you there. I was talking away from the microphone a little bit. You've been doing very well today, by the way.
About what?
Talking into the mic. I love it. Maybe you should be on mic two more. I'm serious. No.
Talk about a left-handed compliment.
Hear me out. Mic one is kind of weird. Love mic one. But it's not in a great spot. It's not in a great position. It's hard to get in the position you want it.
Uh-huh.
Mike, too, look at this. It's right where it needs to be. You're talking
but
over
But I don't
it.
Have the
You're
cough button. It irritates
it.
Me to not have the cough button.
You have the dump button in the middle.
That takes us off for 10 seconds, right? Yeah. Or 20 seconds?
Yeah, so?
Well, that's no good. I need just a good old-fashioned cough button. The studio makes no damn sense. If this is going to be my mic, then this cough button
You could
should...
sit in seat two.
No,
actually, no.
Then I can't see you.
Well, you don't look at me anyway. You look at the TV over my head.
I do like to watch the TVs. We have a lot of TVs here.
Yeah. Well, you could signal to me, and I'll just use the cough button. I got you, fam.
Reese Davis needs to stick to football. He has no idea what he's talking about. He said UK played a tougher schedule than U of L. When did he say that? What's he talking about?
Did I miss that?
I don't know. We didn't have Reese Davis on. Was he on with somebody today?
Oh.
Reese Davis. Maybe you think this guy's talking about Seth Davis?
Yeah.
Did Seth say that?
Did I miss that? Maybe. We'll go back. We'll peruse.
Well, if you want to know the truth, by now, at this point, they've played the same number of Power 5 teams.
So who has the harder schedule?
Well, let's go see.
So the Sagarins.
So isn't that great? The guy's criticizing him. Doesn't even know who the hell he's talking about. No disrespect, but it's not Reese Davis. It's Seth Davis, who doesn't really do football.
That's funny.
He does basketball.
That's funny.
So that's odd.
Same number of letters, because Reese spells it R-E-C-E.
Correct.
That's my contribution to this.
Thank you for contributing that. Very good, Nicholas. Spelling outstanding. All right, here we go. Let's find Louisville's schedule is 195th in the country up till this point.
All right, and UK's is?
Kentucky's is 312th, so the caller is absolutely right. What the hell was Seth talking about?
Did Seth even say that?
No. I don't know if he did. 312, good Lord. Kentucky's schedule has been atrocious, hasn't it? I didn't realize that. I mean, if you want to know the truth, the secret to what you're doing when you schedule in a conference that has a lot of built-in power games, or you have a lot of built-in power games like rivalries or TV games, whatever it may be, is you try to find non-conference teams that were really good last year, and if they're mid-majors, chances are they have to reload, and they're not just going to stay great, and you catch them that next year. So you can truthfully put in your press guide, oh, we're playing 10 teams that, you know, were 17 NCAA teams. Meanwhile, of those 17, 9 of them all graduated their players, and now they've got 5 freshmen. So they did that. Fairleigh Dickinson fits that mold.
When do they actually make the basketball schedule, though?
No, you do it. Basketball, not like football. Football's done like right now. Now we're booking a football schedule for the football team on a football field from a football stadium in 2031. We got our football. We're excited to announce a rivalry in 2032, 33, and 34. We play University of Mars, 2 games here on Earth, 1 game in Mars. Very excited for the football team. Basketball is like you call a guy like in July. Hey, don't. We need a home game. How much money you got? How much money you need? I'm looking for 5 bills. 500? We can't go that high. I'll give you 300. And lunch? Fine. Done.
Is that really how it's
going? Oh, yeah. I mean, sure. And then they'll bring it in. Now, that guy does it, and then he has to bring it to the boss. So, you know, he's doing that, and then you bring it into the coach, and the coach says, yeah, that's great, or says, no, I don't want to play that one.
What are we using to entice people to, if they were offering food?
I already read that, but if you want to read it again, knock yourself out. I read that exact thing about
Adam and his
staff.
Thanks to Adam and his staff. Maybe they should use Wing Zone to entice them.
Sure, why not?
I've stayed away from the potato wedges today because they're so damn delicious. I eat them by the bucketful. So I'm staying away from them.
Okay.
You have to know, you know, your limits, and that's my limits, because I'll eat way too many of them and I'll get sick. They're delicious. That's how good they are. I call it goldfishing.
Okay.
The term, I have used the term, or I've talked about this phenomenon, but I haven't officially coined the term until this weekend.
Goldfishing?
I call it goldfishing.
What does it mean?
Goldfishing means there's certain types of food that if you put them in front of me, I have no willpower to stop.
Oh, like a baby.
Like a goldfish.
Well,
a goldfish will eat food.
Oh,
until
I thought you meant like
this. Or it finishes it.
Right.
So if you've ever accidentally spilled the fish food in the tank when I
spit, goldfish will eat himself to death.
Literally eat himself to death, or just finish it and be a G.
Okay.
But, you know, poor little guy. So
I thought you meant like babies, like because babies, but it's not goldfish, it's Cheerios. You put Cheerios on the
Cheerios,
thing and they'll
they
just
Cheerios.
Keep nomming.
But yeah, goldfish, the cracker is very tasty as well. Big fan of the pretzel one. Big fan of that.
I get
but,
it. Down the rabbit hole he goes.
One of the things I goldfish on is the potato wedges, the delicious potato wedges from Wing Zone.
Sure they are.
I will literally eat them. I'll eat both trays
okay.
if they're there. So that's why I have to stay away from them.
Good.
Those and tortilla chips.
Really?
Yeah. No, I don't know what it is, man. Chips and dip? Good God. It gets ugly.
Okay. What am I doing now? I don't know where you took me. It's like you ever fall asleep in the car and you open up your eyes and you're like, where the hell are we? That's what I just did. I had a little doze, looked out the window. Where are we? What? Did you make a detour? This is not the way we go to Aunt Millie's house.
We're going to Dubuque. I wound up in Des Moines.
Okay.
Took that left at Albuquerque. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the studios. ESPN Louisville special. That's 10 boneless wings.
10 boneless
wedges and a drink for just $9.39. Guess where they came up with that?
Random numbers they yanked out of their hat.
That's wrong. That's our sister station. 93.9 The Ville. Get it? $9.39. Indeed. Just mention ESPN Louisville. This is good 7 days a week. Oh, man, I love those wedges. When it's cold outside, it's
Maybe
not cold today,
cold
but it will get cold again.
Outside.
Stay home. Let Wing Zone bring their delicious wings to you. Wing Zone delivery is perfect for office lunches or game day parties. Order online at wingzone.com. They got two Louisville locations. One's in Hikes Point.
Hike.
And another one.
2634. Hike.
Hess Lane near U of L.
I have a question.
Back to you, Bob.
Thank you very much, Nick. I have a trivia question. We're not giving you anything for it. Just play in your own mind right
Eric Crawford said he could play with us next hour.
Tasty.
Or this hour.
Tasty again.
I asked him
3 minutes ago.
Maybe 2:30. And he said, no problem. Great.
There
Thanks.
Are two teams in the United States of America that have three wins already in this young season against teams in the top 25. Do you know who those teams are? Tick, 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 tick.
Are they all Power 5 conferences?
The teams that are involved are both in Power 5 conferences, correct. It's a bit surprising.
Indiana.
Indiana would not be one of them. Thank you for playing. Indiana has one win against the top 25 team. Process want to play? No. Because it's a bit surprising.
Process, do you have any idea?
Did he have a question?
You said what, three teams?
There's two teams in America
two teams.
Right now.
I thought you said three. Two teams.
Two teams that have three wins.
Have three wins.
Against top 25 teams in the country.
Over top 25 teams.
One of the teams is 3-0, and the other actually is 3-1. They've played four top 25 teams. That's a difficult schedule.
What?
LSU, maybe?
LSU.
We're talking basketball, you realize.
Yeah.
I hope he knows. Okay. No. LSU is incorrect.
Basketball.
Oh, basketball.
Yeah, I knew he wasn't guessing. I said yes, and I knew he was.
But yes, it does. Sorry. I thought you were just really high on Will Wade over there. People texting in?
No, I don't see any yet. Let's see.
437-9680, UPS Jobs text line.
Ohio State, Michigan, and or San Diego State. Ohio, no, wrong. Ohio State is 2-0. That's wrong.
Well, San Diego State is
Michigan
is
2-2, so they have two, but that's also not right. And San Diego State has
Washington.
San Diego State. Oh, please don't lock up. This damn thing always locks up on me. I can't read San Diego State's record, but it's not them either. So who did you say?
I said Washington.
Washington would also be incorrect.
Wrong. Damn it.
I think. Yeah, let me double check. I'm so afraid this is going to lock up on me again. All right. San Diego State has one top 50, 25 win. Hmm. Washington, I can't even find. Washington is 1-2 against top 25 teams. Hmm. Michigan and Gonzaga. Gonzaga, as I told you, is wrong.
Wait a minute. Oh, wait.
Gonzaga is 2-1 against top 25 teams.
Who was it? That's...
Dayton? Does Dayton is the question?
No, you said...
I know the answer. I'm trying to see what Dayton is. Dayton is 1-1 against top 25 teams. It's surprising, but it's not surprising. When you hear it, you'll go, oh, okay. But it's not like, I'll give you a clue. It's not like one of the brandier names. It's not Duke. It's not Kansas. Not Gonzaga. Not Ohio State. Not Michigan State.
Is this team ever considered a blue blood?
Well, they're good. They're in very powerful leagues, and they're both ranked in the top 10. I've already given you half the top 10 to eliminate it, so that should give you some idea. But it's intriguing to me because... you know, these are teams that we should better start paying attention to based on this. Like, to Seth Davis's point, Auburn hasn't played a top 25 team yet. I could have given you that as a trivia question. There's only one team in the top 10 right now that has not played one top 25 team, and that's Auburn. They are 0-0 against top 25 teams. Michigan State's, you know, and Tom Izzo's notorious for putting a schedule together that is like self-flagellation, and he's only played one top 25 team. How about that?
I was going to say Oregon, but...
Oregon is correct.
What?
Oregon is correct.
I'm cheating right now. I'm looking at their record.
Oregon is 3-1 against top 25 teams.
3-1?
Yes.
Are you sure about that? They beat Michigan.
Oregon is 3-1 against teams in the top 25.
They beat Michigan.
Okay.
All right, they lost to Gonzaga.
That's 1-1.
They beat Memphis.
That's two.
That's all I see here. For top 25, unless they beat somebody in the top 25 that's no longer in the top 25.
Well, that's what it must be. But I only have the Sagarins in front of me. I'll help you by giving you the other team now, and then I can go answer your questions. The other team is Baylor, who's 3-0.
Bama?
Baylor.
Oh, Baylor. Oh.
Good Lord, the two of you guys. It's not football. Get football out of your mind. It's not Alabama.
Well,
it's not LSU.
Process was hacking behind me when you said it, so I couldn't really hear you.
All right.
Not to throw you under the bus there. Hey, put that finger down. Hey, are you doing the football thing today? Is that going to be done?
Oregon. Oregon is beaten.
Oh, okay.
Oregon beat Michigan. Oregon beat Michigan. They beat
Memphis. We've sailed past the top of the hour.
They beat, I don't know, one of these teams. Yeah, they beat Seton Hall, was in the top 25.
Okay, that was going to be the one I was going to guess. Well, Denver, Houston, but I thought it was Seton Hall.
Yes, there you go.
Right.
All right, and who's the other one? Baylor, their top 25 wins. They beat Arizona. They beat Butler. And they also beat Villanova. So there's your three right there. All right, what am I doing here? Taking a break because we got to pay top of the hour. We got ID or we're going to go to jail. Let's do that. Back with more ESPN Radio.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.